You're listening to The Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt.
Happy anniversary, Wyatt. Hell yeah. Guys, this episode is really cool. We are celebrating our 1 year anniversary of having this podcast on. Wyatt, we did it. Made it 1 full year. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
No. Both of us, dude.
Yeah. It's an accomplishment. Did you really think this would last? Like, I mean, when we started, obviously we talked about like goals, but like, did you really think that like this was going to last for a full year?
You know what? I was optimistic. I wanted it. I couldn't yeah. not, I didn't not let this fail, you know, yeah. and despite how popular we were or anything, you know, I made a 1 year goal, 2 year goal, 3 year goal, 4 year goal, 5 year goal.
Yeah.
And so, at one point, I think during the summer, I think after Corona hit and kind of shut us down, cause we had some yeah. breweries lined up to go see him and so forth. I had some doubts that this would survive. So I didn't always think that I thought for a second, you know, we'd be kind of
pushed us in a different direction than we expected, for sure.
It's fine. We conquered, and we kind of, when Corona hit, instead of saying, you know, damn it, we're going to sit in my room, watch Netflix and pout, I don't put my nose down, and I feel like I grinded harder this year than I have in the past couple of years. And
yeah.
And just grateful that we're still going. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool. And
yeah.
And we've gotten, you know, over 50 episodes, and we've done a whole year's worth of, like, it's been such cool memories. And yeah, to answer your question,
yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Right. I think COVID definitely changed like where we were headed, but I don't know, man. Like I like where we're at. Like we really, I don't know. I think especially you, but like just kind of put our heads down and made it happen, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So I opened, I thought we could have champagne. I have cute little champagnes, Zone and Prosecco, and I remember when I first fell in love with champagnes. Oh, I have cheeses too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I brought you from prosciutto and mozzarella. But what was the whole part about it is I brought some champagne because what first enticed me with like drinking alcohol and tasting and pairing was pairing up at Sundance.
Yeah.
I remember, I know you've heard the story where a bunch of cheeses, certain, you know, artesian crackers and champagnes of all sorts of kinds. And we like played with our palate and it opened our palate and I died, you know, it's whatever. And so I feel like on an anniversary, champagne's appropriate. So I don't know. How familiar are you with champagne, Wyatt?
I've had it before.
Yeah.
Like maybe 2 or 3 times.
So, I was trying to look at the history of champagne for here. Ooh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Some prosciutto and
mozzarella.
Yep.
So I'm opening a Brut sparkling wine.
Okay.
And
not a champagne.
So, here, do you want to know why champagne is champagne and sparkling wine yeah. is not champagne?
I would love to. Kind of smells like chlorine.
Yeah.
That could just be.
It tastes like sweet apple. To me, it's just like apple cider. But champagne, true champagne is only from the Champagne region of France. That's what you can call champagne. Anything else has to be called sparkling wine.
Yeah. That's a like tart a little bit. That's nice.
I like the saltiness of the prosciutto with the champagne, sparkling wine, if you will.
Yeah.
This is from Italy. So the Italian wine, they have to call it sparkling because it's not from the Champagne region of France. Mm-hmm. And Prosecco is one of the first I've ever drank in my entire life.
Yeah. It's like crisp, clean apple.
Yeah. It's like a good apple juice. Like, if you will, a fancy apple juice.
Yeah. That's really good.
Not bad.
Surprised, yeah.
It's cheap. No, it's Brut. And Brut means unsweetened and very dry. And this is very dry.
I like it. But it's still, it's like dry, but it's not bitter. It's very refreshing, like, yeah, refreshing is the way I would describe that.
Like a cider. I keep thinking cider.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, cider is basically apple wine.
Yeah. Like a, kind of some of those more tart, dry, refreshing ciders that we had.
Right.
But that's, it's like tart and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Refresh. Are you supposed to eat the rind of this cheese or?
No, that's wax.
Oh, okay.
So in front of you, I have an Irish cheddar. Mm. And Irish cheddars typically go with champagne. Not typically, excuse me. They're doing like a grassy kind of note that I thought would go well with the champagne. That's what I wanted. So I brought that for you. Hopefully we can try it.
I think it goes better than the prosciutto.
You think so?
I really do, yeah.
I get some.
Because the cheese is like clean and has kind of like that typical cheddar flavor, but it's not super sharp.
Mm-hmm. Mild.
Yeah, pretty mild.
But creamy. Very creamy. I like it.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
How about give you a beer instead?
Mm, deal.
Okay. So brief history about Champagne. So Champagne is strictly from the Champagne region, like I keep saying over and over. But
wait, where is Champagne from?
From the Champagne region of France, Northeast France. Shit. Anyway, so when Champagne came through, Champagne was basically served in like any celebratory time. So the Treaty of Madrid, the Treaty of Versailles, anytime it was like a big event. And it was one of the French kings, he married into that region. It was a princess he married. And he was called, if I remember, he was called the Just or the Right. You know, he was always the fair one. The fair, that's what it was called, the King of the Fair. And whenever people came in and celebrated, he would have his vineyards, the champagne, and he'd give it and share this champagne. So it became like you go to this champagne region and you were spoiled with champagne. So it became like a, you know, like, we got to go, if I heard about this, you know, we go over to Johnny's house has got the greatest beer ever kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know exactly what happened, but that's because, like, if you think about, like, any movies, any shows, anytime you're celebrating, like colleges or when you graduate, you open a bottle of champagne. Why is that? It's kind of a historical, it's kind of a tradition. And that's...
Marriage.
Yeah, people open it all the time. And then because it was such a, like, from Champagne region, they just coined the term and no one can say champagne unless it's from that region. Mm-hmm. And then sparkling wine has to be called whatever you want to call it. And the only other champagne I've ever seen labeled and got away with it, places from California, which I don't understand, but it is what it is.
Champagne style.
Champagne style or method champagne. Or it's, in I believe this is in French, it's méthode champenoise, which is that method that Matt was talking about, some ciders, where basically when they ferment, because they blend the bottle with a bit of yeast and sugar and to undergo that secondary fermentation, and traditionally, they're laid on their side. So they ferment on their side.
Yeah.
Kind of like lambics and all that cool stuff, right? And then eventually, that gives kind of that bubbles to the champagne, and that yeast is just munching and munching and munching. And champagnes can have to age for at least 15 months or more. That's the key for the kind of the style of champagne. Anyway, and then what happens is then it has that beautiful color or a bit of, remember that champagne thing where they're doing on cider where like he hit the cork upside down or whatever?
Yeah.
That's what came from Champagne region, that style.
The champagne saber.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about it was, I was like, who invented champagne, like whatever? And it was Dom Perignon. Maybe the famous like champagne Dom Perignon, like James Bond drink Dom Perignon 57 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's like the first guy who invented champagne.
You know, so just funny sidebar here. So like he mentions that in, I believe the movie is Goldfinger.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely not Goldmember. That's Austin Powers.
That's Austin Powers.
Yeah, so the Goldfinger, and he says like Dom Perignon 54 and it can only be served below.
Yeah. But
what does he say? Like 16 degrees Celsius.
Yeah,
or
something weird.
Something like that, right? The year that he mentioned in that movie doesn't actually exist.
Oh, really?
Funny trivia there, yeah.
That is kind of cool. Maybe, I think Sean Connery is just probably bullshitting when he said that.
And it's probably not to be served at that temperature.
Probably
that
not.
Temperature is like 58 degrees Fahrenheit. It's what it ends up being.
That's kind of warm for a cider. Or I guess, excuse me, a champagne.
You're warm for a champagne.
But what do you think about this? So far, so good?
Yeah, so far, so good. I don't like it with the prosciutto as much, but with this Irish cheddar, it's super
not bad. Super good. Well, I just opened another one. So this one's the Gloria Ferrer. It was Method Champenoise that we just talked about. It was made in Sonoma.
Mm.
Not bad at all, huh? Sonoma, California. For those who don't know where Sonoma is,
yeah. But is that the one you were saying that's made with the Pinot Noir?
So this one's in the Noir family. Yes. So cool fact about this one is 32% Pinot grapes. And 8% Chardonnay grapes. So it's going to have like this black cherry, bright strawberry with a little bit of vanilla, lemon, and cola flavors. So I'm really curious to see this one.
Interesting. Cola flavors.
Cola flavors, yeah.
Is it going to be...
It's still white. Still clear.
Yeah, wow.
But it's going to have those different flavors, which is really cool because Pinots are the type of grape,
yeah.
Right? And yeah, so the Prosecco is very, very white, very clear, but bubbly. And for some reason, the bubbles just, some people, I've met a lot of people recently who hate bubbles, like hate champagne.
Those people suck.
I guess.
They never listen to Don, oh fuck, what's his name? Oh man, Corey, help me out. We were just talking about ukuleles. Don Ho. That's who it is. Whoever's listening to this, go look up Don Ho.
Don Ho.
Top song is called Tiny Bubbles. Is there a way, like, we could just insert the song, just like the chorus right now, just comes in over the top. Tiny bubbles.
Jesus. So this one, what do you think about this one? I this one's got a weird, not astringency, but it's got like a little, it's way more tart.
Huh. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. I think the other one was more tart, had like a higher acidity. This one is a little more flat, and it's because I've got some cheese left over in my mouth from the last one.
No, for me, it's I get that cola in the very beginning.
Yeah, I definitely get some cola.
It's weird. Get a little cola, but for me, it's like that's that the grape tartness at the very end. And I don't have cheese in my mouth to kind of, you know, combat that creaminess of the cheese, but you get like a lot of grape.
Yeah.
Like, which is weird, but.
Grape and cola. It's mostly what I'm,
but
what I'm getting
weird
there.
But is that cola? That's super
weird.
Yeah,
cola is super weird. And it's a lot more flat. You want to try it with some cheese?
I do, actually. Yeah, please.
Good luck getting it off there.
A little difficult. But why? So, that's a little synopsis and a little history on champagne real quick.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So, happy anniversary, brother. It is that time of year where people talk about New Year's resolutions. And
not good with prosciutto.
Not good with prosciutto.
No.
And I hate New Year's resolutions. Can I tell you that?
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
No shit.
I really do.
Why?
Because I think, personally, you should be having a lifestyle and have goals throughout the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I see a lot of my friends, a lot of people get hell-bent about, you know, new year, new you. And they're pretty good for the first 30 to 60 days, maybe 90 if you're lucky.
Shit, they last that long?
If you're lucky,
I see a lot of people like, new year, new me, and then like, fuck, 2 weeks later.
That's why like the gyms get crowded the first month. And why can't you have those goals and aspirations throughout the year?
Yeah, I definitely don't think you should wait. Like if you have a goal, like, then fucking act on it.
Yeah.
Like make that shit happen now. Don't wait until next week or tomorrow or the new year, right?
Yeah.
But I like New Year's because not so much, it's not about setting new goals. It's about reevaluating where your goals are right now, what progress you've made to the goals you set last year, if those are still applicable, and if maybe you want to add to them, maybe you need to change them a little bit. I think it's like a reminder to kind of reevaluate what's going on in your life.
Yeah. I see where you're going at.
As opposed to like just new year, new me kind of thing. Like that's fucking dumb. But
I feel like that's your route of going that way is really cool and really brings out the aspect of what it truly means. Kind of like the spirit of Christmas, if you will. Because I was telling Holly the other day, totally tangent, but I'm a Grinch, dude. I'm a Scrooge. I don't like this holiday because it's become, I have to give you gifts. I have to give gifts. I have to give gifts. What's wrong with me giving you my time or a loaf of bread or like something, I made you something or just like a handwritten note saying how much I really do appreciate you.
I think those are the most meaningful gifts.
But like, why do I have to go to Amazon and have to give you, you know what I mean? Like it's become this, and we even raise our children that way. It's like if you don't get gifts, because if you're good, you get gifts. If you're not good, you don't give gifts. Like, okay, but what gives me I can give Holly a gift whenever I want. I shouldn't have a holiday to deem when I have to give you, like if I saw something really cool and I really, like I need gifts for Wyatt. Like what's stopping me? This shouldn't stop you.
Yeah, it shouldn't get in the way of you living your life and trying to be a good person. Like you shouldn't use Christmas as an excuse to be a good person. You should use Christmas. My point is you should always be a good person, but like, I think you can reevaluate that at Christmas. Do you mind if I grab a little bit more of that one?
Absolutely. So The good thing about Hollow Knight is Hollow Knight, the one thing we do for New Year's resolutions, if you will, is we like setting yearly goals. Mm-hmm. We set about two or three because we think if we do more than three personally, this is just, you know, our family, it becomes too much.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't knock them all down. This last year, we got two out of the three, and one of them was going to travel to Europe and have a fun time in Europe. Like, that was one of our goals, but Corona, obviously. Luck. But two out of three, like, that's over 50%. That's good. Like, I think we did well. And and Holly and I are always pushing each other, and we know that if we want a gift, we'll buy it ourselves. And, like, Holly likes to be surprised here and there. Like, of course I'll give her, like, a gift that I feel like she should get something. She should open something in my mind. You should at least come to something like, hey, I thought about you. Here's something I thought about. And when you wake up that morning, here's, like, a little gift, I guess, because I thought about you. But and also she's like, hey, I want this, this, and this. Just, I'm not going to tell you size, color, whatever. You think what makes, like, what screams me, go get it. I'm like, that's easy. I like that.
Yeah.
But from all my friends out there, like, I don't need gifts. I'm not that's not my love language. I don't, I'd rather hear it. I'd rather hear, like, what I mean to you or what I've done or what you mean to me. And so, and that to me is more spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
And so, because Christmas has become, like, more commercialized, I'm kind of like, eh, I'm over Christmas.
Dude, it's straight bastardized,
All right.
But I think that the people that you care about in your life, you should know what speaks to them and do something specifically for them, not just buy a gift or now it's like gift cards too, right? Like,
it's like a cop out.
It's not even a gift anymore. Like, just don't think about it. Just, Amazon gift card, sure. $50, yeah, $20, whatever.
Go spend yourself, you know, spoil yourself. And that, like, to me is kind of sad. Like, I hate giving gift cards because it's like the most, I couldn't think hard enough to think about what I could get you. But that's why.
It's like, I should know you well enough because I'm getting you a gift, but I don't know you well enough to actually get you something. Yeah, I feel you.
But you know what? To say the least, I did love Christmas. And I think when I have kids, and I was talking to Cody about this the other day, I think when I have kids myself, that spirit will come back. Because one of my other friends said, I used to geek out Christmas as a kid. It used to be the greatest thing ever. Nothing could beat it. And then she said, I was wrong. Nothing's better than seeing your kids geeking out at Christmas.
Yeah.
That's where the spirit, like, that's where the magic is. And that's really cool because the whole Santa Claus and elves and all that, it's cool for kids. Yeah. It's beautiful. As a kid, I loved it. Christmas was the greatest holiday of all time. But now it's like, I find more holidays and events I look forward to over Christmas. The only thing I love about Christmas, food, family, and day off. That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care about snow. I really don't care about snow. I don't care about gifts. I don't care about the decorations and the Christmas tree. I really don't, you know?
Yeah. Like,
Holly had me help her with decorations this year, and all I did was put a plaque up that says, "Tits this season, ho-ho pimp." That's all he did. Like, and it's in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think Christmas can be good, but I think that it's definitely been bastardized. So, like, like, as far as giving gifts goes, like, I would personally rather receive something that you made yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'll say it on here because this will come out after Christmas, right?
Yep.
This will come out in January. Why are we talking about Christmas? I got, for my family, for Christmas, everyone gets a loaf of bread. Yeah. It's like a loaf of bread. Homemade bread. Like sourdough bread, and it's fermented for like 48 hours, and like, we took our time, made some good shit, but like, that's what people are getting for Christmas, and like, you know, I think it means more.
Heartfelt note, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to write everyone like notes
badass.
And stuff.
Hell yeah. That's really cool, dude.
Because, I don't know, it's like more personal that way.
Yeah.
And like, so like my grandma, I'm going to give her some of the sourdough start instead of just like the bread itself as well. So she'll get both. Because like, you know, it might be something that she like to use.
Yeah.
So yeah, being a little more thoughtful, and New Year's resolutions are the same way, like just being a little more thoughtful instead of just like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year. Like, I like to think of goals like, fuck, dude, everything in life is connected, right? Like, there's a thread that connects everything in your life. So everything is related. You can't, no matter how much you try to separate stuff. What's the word? Compartmentalize things.
Okay.
Like, everything is connected a little bit. Like, you can't have a bad day at work and go home and just be like the perfect husband and father. Like, it's connected, right? And so like, everything is, dude, it's tied together. And so like, your big goals, like, okay, 20 years from now, where do I want to be? Or like, what are my main goals in my life, right? Like, I want to live a life of meaning, and I want to live my values and my virtues as a person, right? I want to be a good husband and father. Like, those are like big goals for me, right? And so like, my goals for the next year are goals that will facilitate that.
Oh, cool.
It's not just like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds or I want to go to the gym more. It's like, I'm doing that stuff because I want to be a better father. And if I'm going to be a better father, line, it means that like I need to be able to go and play sports with my kids. I want to be able to throw the baseball and go out and run with them. I want to be able to beat the shit out of my kids until they're 18. And I want them to know that. Not because like I'm planning on beating my kids, but because like they should know that I could kick their ass.
Right.
Right? Like teenagers don't respect you unless you can kick their ass.
I got you.
That's just how it goes. And so like if I'm going to be able to do that when my kids are teenagers, you know, in however many years, like, I got to be able to be fit now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't start then. You're too late.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think about, like, everything you want to be in the future and, like, everything you do now is leading you there. Like, you're on a path that's leading you in a certain direction. And so, goals for the year are just goals to keep you on the path in the short term so that you can reach the path in the long term.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how I think about goals.
So, if you look at that, so what's our... if you will, New Year's resolution for us on our second season, if you will.
Dude, to get totally plastered on beer every day?
No. That's not going to happen, ever. But I think looking at our podcast, like where it's come from, I remember us studying in your little room with a shitty one mic and then trying to learn from like, and doing the best we could. You know what I mean? And we've come, now we have a studio and, you know, we have guests coming left and right. We have people hitting us up. We have great collaborations happening. We have awesome things. And for me, I mean... I would like to see this monetized, and our new logo will come out here soon. Yeah. We got a logo coming out. We got a bunch of stickers. I'm just going to pass out. My goal is to pass out so many stickers that I walk into a brewery, I look at the like sticker pulls, and I see a sticker on it that I didn't put on.
Yeah.
That would be super cool.
I want to pull up to a Beto's, because you know at like every Beto's, how people just put random fucking stickers on things?
Yeah.
I want to pull up to a Beto's and see a Tastemaster sticker.
That'd be cool. But that's the thing. I want people to know like Tastemasters, we're here to like help just educate. Yep. Like I want... I'm not here to be, you know, the next Joe Rogan, but I want people to understand like, hey, beer's not as scary as you think. Just because you've had Coors and Bud Light and you think beer's gross, man. Bullshit. Let me teach you something. Like the process is cool. Making it's cool. Like, let me like open. Can I help you? Like, there's more to it, you know, despite whether it's a religious aspect or a cultural aspect or your whatever. Like I promise tell me if it tastes good or not.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know.
Beer's been a religious thing for like thousands of years. It surprised me it's not now, honestly.
In a way, it's not, huh?
Yeah.
But so resolutions, I feel like, you know, going forward, I want to get way more guests on here. I want to be able to collab with more people. I want to get a distiller on here. I kind of venture out past the craft beer into craft distilling.
There are three distilleries I can think of right now that we could probably get a distiller on.
It'd be really cool, you know? And I want people to... I want to be so booked on the weekends where my weekends are just filled with recording. I love this, dude. I really love this. This is so fucking cool. I love, like, I look forward. It's kind of cool because I don't party as hard sometimes because I know I have to, like, be up in the morning because I'm really curious to meet this person or this guest or whatever. Like, I'm really excited. And I want merchandise, dude. I want my merchandise out there. I want us to be able to have, like, a face and a name go head and head.
Yeah.
And ultimately, this is the reaching goal, but I want to be on a billboard.
You want to be on a billboard?
Yeah, dude.
I don't think billboards are that expensive. Like, I think we could get you a billboard.
I don't know, but I want to be on a billboard.
We could probably do that.
I want my hair to be on a billboard.
We could. So we're reaching out for sponsors so that we can get David on a billboard.
let's get enough sponsors so that David gets on a billboard.
I think that's definitely a big goal. Like right now, this is costing us, you know,
podcasts aren't cheap.
Yeah, a fair, not like a ton of money. Like, you know, we're still doing this for fun and it's not so expensive that we're like, oh, this sucks, right? But like, it's not free. And so like, I think a big goal is, you know, I don't necessarily like care to make money with this. Like,
no, but I want it to be sustain itself.
I don't want to lose money doing
it. You can be cute and fancy and hold a beer and whatever. But do you know about the beer?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What's an IPA? What's a stout?
Yeah.
What's mashing? Like, what's the grain content you have in there? Like, what are you fermenting it at? Like, do you know any of this? Like, is there an off flavor? What's an off flavor? You know, like, and so I want to be able to still educate. I want to continue to learn. I've learned so much this year, and I want to continue to learn. And so as for a resolution for this podcast, I just want to keep that known that we're having our guests in front of our faces. No, I don't want to do a phone interview. Yeah. And we're going to have a good time. Anytime, like, the Tastemasters, oh, dude, I had a hell of a fun time. Like, if our guests aren't saying that, I yeah. feel like we failed in a way.
What, from our goals from, looking at our goals from last year, I don't know if you have them written.
Oh,
you have
them
written down
for
in front of you. I was going to say, what did we not hit this year? Because I think we hit most of our goals. I really do. I think we had something along the lines of, like, be a part of a magazine or something, and we missed that, but... you know, I think our biggest goal was just like continue podcasting and get some guests. And the layout we had initially planned didn't work quite the way we wanted it to. We found that like having guests on is way better than just us.
Just us, yeah. Now, no offense, Wyatt, but I don't want to listen to just you and I.
Hey, man.
But I want to listen to that guy, like that guy or gal that's right there, or the guys and gals that are here.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it. That's really cool.
Yeah, we have a lot to learn when we bring other people on for sure. I think the one thing that we didn't hit that I was really excited to do is we wanted to get in and do some brewery tours.
Yeah.
With video.
Yeah.
And like do an interview kind of as we were moving and maybe as a brewer was brewing or at the very least showing us the place so we could show some of that stuff.
I have a 3-month goal, 6-month goal, 9-month goal, 12-month goal. So this is a little personal between Wyatt and I, but I'll share this with our fans. Our 3-month goal was to not in any order, but have an outline of episodes. And I feel like we've had, you know, we kind of have an episode idea or guest idea and we bring them on and go for that way. One of our goals was to have a crew and we got a producer.
Corey.
Like Corey is a part of it. Like, and we have Cody, honorary Tastemaster, you know, like I feel like it's kind of a, we did that.
He's
we
on
had,
retainer. Yeah.
Yeah. We had one that was a do a brewery tour in every Utah brewery. Well, we haven't done that because COVID, but we didn't plan for that though. You can't plan for that.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing that stopped us
and
there was COVID.
Here's one that I wanted at the year mark. Didn't happen. Like you were saying, be in a magazine or be interviewed by another podcast or a magazine, which it'll get there. But the thing is like, if you guys don't want to interview us, I'll interview you then. Like, let's go. Like, I want to talk. I don't care who you are. Let's talk. I don't care if you drink beer or not. Let's talk.
Looking at some of our goals, I'm like, man, like, we obviously had no idea what we were doing.
No, dude, but it's been so cool. And for any of those who are like, have an aspiration to like, start a podcast or do something, just do it. And my goal or my advice to you, if I could, is consistency.
Yeah.
Why? We have released an episode every week. Like, we have been consistent.
One.
Yeah, we missed one, but... We had a couple of holiday episodes, so it kind of worked out in a way. We had like two on 1 week, a couple weeks. But nonetheless, like we've been consistent. We've been posting. We've been like updating. We've been like trying to be at events. We've been pretty good, dude. And I'm just looking forward to what this year's going to hold. I'm so excited, dude. I just want to talk to all brewers. I want to talk to people who are within the brewing community who are making cool things for brewers. Like, I just want to keep that going, dude.
Yeah.
And like the fact that we had owners of distilleries on here. We had badass cupcake people. Like we had badass other people that weren't just beer drinkers.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool.
One of our goals for the future beyond our 1-year goal was to get into whiskey and ciders and wines. And we got into distilling a little bit. So we got some spirits.
Mm-hmm.
We did try a whiskey and we got ciders. So like we hit goals that were more like 2-year goals.
Yeah.
And we missed some 1-year goals, but I think overall, this is more successful than I don't want to say than I expected. Like it's kind of basically where I expected it to be.
Oh, cool!
It's COVID changed our direction a little bit, but like I'm pleased with where we're at.
COVID didn't stop us, and even during COVID,
nothing
I remember
stops us.
I was staying, you know, late hours on my couch, just like editing and editing and editing, and then I'm like, I got good at editing for a while. Like I hated it, but I got good at the program we were using, and then I had cool friends that just wanted to see us. Like, you know, Fuse Audio reached out to us, and they're like, hey, we can help you because we love you, and we're good at this. And they came in, they, like, rocked our world. You know, they took us in, gave
us
their studio. They, for real, though. They really did. And even during, like, the whole, you know, quarantine shutdown and the studio shut down for a little bit, and they facilitated a way for us to still work at our own home. You know, we brought guests to our house. We had the most epic cider experience ever. Like, I will not push ciders ever again. Like, meeting Matt and Elizabeth was one of the coolest things ever. That was one of my favorite episodes, which I want to talk about, like, a year in review kind of a thing. Like, from past episodes this year, why? What are some of your favorite episodes?
Oh, man, that's tough. I feel like we've had a lot of really good episodes. I think the cider one was really cool because we got you know, we had the whole charcuterie board. We got a pair with a lot.
Speaking of which, I have a cider that Elizabeth and Matt brought into the United States, into Utah. So remember Original Sin? We had the dry rosé. They brought the dry rosé. They got it. The ABC finally accepted it. It's now coming in here. It's most the ABCs you can get it. The dry rosé or the Original Sin Black Widow. I was telling Chad about this. I'm like, hey, listen, if you see the Black Widow, you have to get it. Let's open this up because it's amazing. But it's blackberries with apples from New York. So Original Sin's from New York. It's got the coolest label ever. It's a goddamn Black Widow. And it looks like the most Halloween gothic can ever. And it tastes, well, actually, let's taste it right now. Yeah. But continue.
The ingredients, fresh pressed New York apples, blackberries, champagne yeast, and sulfites to protect flavor.
There you go. But that cider episode was just amazing.
The can feels cool. Like, imagine what matte black feels like. That's what the can feels like.
I like that.
You want to use the same?
Yeah, please.
Whoa. But
it's this beautiful, like, blood blackberry.
Yeah, not what color. I was expecting, like, a clear, kind of like the same color as the champagne.
Looks like juicy almost. Dude, I want to know what you think about this. Original Sin Black Widow.
There's the thing on the side of the can says, the last cider you'll ever love.
Go for it, dude.
See, because it kills your tongue?
Because the Black Widow kills you. You'll die. You're going to die after this.
Sweet.
But so, yeah, Matt and Elizabeth, they're pushing hard. They really are advocates for ciders, and they're killing it right now. They're bringing more respect to it. And, of course, COVID's kind of slowed them down, but they aren't stopping anytime soon.
It's pretty good. A lot of blackberry flavors.
I like it. It's easy cider. Tart, super refreshing. Cool.
Not the most complex cider by any means, but
no, but it's like people, you can get this to somebody who doesn't like beer, if you will, and be like, here's a cider you can drink. It's basically like juice.
Dude, so many people think that ciders and beers are the same thing. I've had people at the bar, like, they're like, I don't like beer. I'm like, well, I've got some good ciders. And they're like, I just said I don't like beer.
Gotcha.
Like, you're an idiot.
So, you know, looking back in the year,
fucking sparkling water.
I remember our first episode. You know, doing Brewmaster Sean, and that was really cool. Let's go over the history a little bit and kind of get his such great knowledge of beer and going from there. And then our first other, you know, brewer we brought was Scott from Salt Flats. That was one of the coolest episodes. For me, it was really cool because he came down, guns loaded. He had so many beers. Oh my God, like, I'm going to spoil you guys. Like, I'm going to teach you. And then to top him off, we reach out to Marcio, and Marcio comes out, and Marcio just floorboards us. Marcio is one of the coolest cats we know.
Yeah.
You know, and I could have sat there and talked to Marcio all night. And and then you know, we had our friend Jerome. We had Halls on there. We had Jason. You know, we had the Nyaka episode with Seltzers. We had millions of Cody episodes, and Cody was always there to help us and fill in for when we were, Cody's slacking. The man. And then Cider episode, super cool. KB episode, that one was really powerful. The Black is Beautiful episode, that one really hit home to, like, opening my eyes, if you will.
Yeah.
And there was more than just beer. There was a message.
Yeah, there were things that I hadn't thought about.
Right.
Like an angle of that movement that I hadn't considered.
Yeah.
That, I think really changed.
Yeah.
Changed the way I think about it, for sure.
And then we had Chad Hopkins. Chad Hopkins, if you're listening, you're one of the most badass I've ever seen. Like, the guy's just a fucking rad dude. And I want him to be in my life for the rest of my life. Like, this guy I just want to hang out with all the time.
Cupcakes.
And then Diaz is, like, the coolest friend. She's like a sister. Yeah. Like, fucking rad. Because of her, we've gotten a lot of connections with, a lot of feedback, too. And helping her make cupcakes for Strap Tank was super cool. Now that her cupcakes are in Utah County, hell yeah.
Bewilder
was super cool. Holy Stone Distilling. That one was really cool because Mike and Barbie were so rad, and they knew what they were talking about, and they have a passion, and it goes back to, I love passionate people, and of course, like, I love that craft beer aspect of it, but they have that passion within distilling, and they both are like, yeah, we don't really drink beer, but we have hard liquor we're passionate about, and for me, it's like, hard liquor is the first word, hard. Like, for me, it's like, it's hard. Like, I don't know why. I wish at one point I could be kind of like you were. A glass of scotch, and it was a good nightcap. Like, I can't, dude. I have to have, like, some rocks or, like, a little bit of a chaser, if you will. Yeah. I'm not as sophisticated as you guys, but, you know, getting getting their aspect on like what they're doing and why they're doing it was so cool, dude.
Yeah.
And just meeting all the, like, continuing to meet all the brewers and people behind the scenes.
What, I'm sure we missed some people. I guess I was like Bristol.
Oh yeah. That was a super rad episode. That was like watching her and get the aha moment after the brown ale.
Yeah.
I won't ever forget that one.
What was your favorite drink from the year?
Yeah, you know what? My favorite drink that was crafted that blew my mind was the
Budweiser.
No, was the Lowrider, Scott's Lowrider.
Really?
To this day. Yeah, that chocolate milk stout like was probably one of the ones that I drank. I'm like, what the fuck?
An early one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had his barrel aged not too long ago. And it was great as well. It was super cool. Like that barrel aged gave us like a little bit of char to it. And it was it was like a deeper Lowrider.
Yeah.
And so that's probably my favorite one because I bragged about that one for months, dude. I still brag about that one.
Yeah.
And then after that, the Cinderella Slipper Cider.
Okay.
When Matt poured that Cinderella Slipper Cider, I'm like, oh my God. It brought back more memories. And granted, we were toasted. I was toasted that day. But it was great to be able to, but holy shit, it's bringing back, it's reminiscing. And I love that. And I miss that aspect about things.
Yeah.
What about yours? What was your favorite drink?
That's tough, dude. That's really tough. The one that like I really find myself wishing that I had in my fridge is just Bewilder's Brown. Like that one was such a good brown ale.
Easy, huh?
Yeah, good. Super easy and like just exactly what you wanted a traditional brown ale to be.
And Cody brought it just to drink, not to talk about. That's the best part. He's like, hey, if we're going to drink beer and do a podcast, we're drinking it.
Yeah.
And he handed all of us a brown ale. He was like, yeah, open it up.
Yeah, that was super Cody's good. Rad. Like I find myself wanting that one a lot. Oh man, there are so many good things. Like that first hop episode that we did, where we talked about like IPAs and kind of discovered IPAs and pale ales, like the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I'd never really appreciated the Uinta Double Hopped IPA.
Yeah,
Hop Rising. Is that Squatters?
Squatters Hop Rising.
Yeah, I'd never really appreciated that beer, and since then I've actually really enjoyed hoppy beers.
Yeah, it opened our palate. It really did. Yeah.
That one was super solid, and like just the same thing as you were talking about with the Cinderella Slipper is like just brought back some serious memories.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, even like thinking about it now, like it instead of just taking me to like the place where we were drinking the beer, it takes me to like the places that drinking the beer reminds me of.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you ever listen to like a song and that song just kind of like speaks to you and you like you really absolutely feel it. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes like I'll listen to music and like I'll be just like driving and like a song will come on. I don't even listen to music that much. So you like books, podcasts, that kind of stuff, right? But like sometimes I'll listen to a song and like it'll literally bring like a tear to my eye for whatever reason. And like most recently that happened, it was like this song called you've probably never listened to Johnny Horton before. Super, super old artist from like the 50s. And he was like a country music kind of, but I would call him more like Western. And there's this song he has called Whisperin' Pines, and it's like dude, something about that song was just like speaking to me, and I was like driving home from work and like crying, right? Just like tears and stuff. And just like spoke to me in a very similar way to the way that IPA spoke to me.
Interesting.
And like
that's really cool, dude.
It sounds ridiculous to say, but
it
like
doesn't.
It that stuff is serious. Like it, that's what makes me believe that beer is an art form. Is it makes me feel the same way that like that song does, or like there are some paintings that bring emotions. That same thing back. Yeah.
It really does, but it evokes emotions that you can't. Yeah. Like, Austin's like, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
It's like the movie Coco, when there's the first movie I ever cried in.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, dude.
You never saw My Dog Skip as a kid?
Didn't cry in it.
Shut up.
I didn't cry in it.
Get
I'm
out.
I'm not kidding. I'm not lying to you. The only other movie I cried in was The Accepted, where they make their fake college, and they talked about you break your penis, they only fix vaginas. You go to Dr. A, they only pay for Dr. B. You go to the doctor Monday through Thursday, they only pay for Dr. Friday. Like that part with Lewis Black, I cried because I was laughing so hard. It was dumb humor. But then Coco. When Coco, at the very end, and if you guys haven't seen it, whatever, but go see Coco. But the very end, I was bawling in the movie theater. And I, for some reason, brought sunglasses into the movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And
you wore them out?
I put them on during that scene, and I walked out with glasses on. And Holly's like, are you okay? I've never seen this reaction from you. I'm like, I can't. I don't know. And it hit home. It hit close to home. But like.
Yeah. Like, that one made me cry too. But
it's powerful, dude. And I loved it. But that's the thing with beer. Beer hasn't yet made me cry yet. But the first beer that makes me cry, I promise I'll let you know.
Yeah. And that one didn't make me cry, but it's just like a similar emotional experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like some songs, dude, maybe I'm just soft, but like.
That's not soft.
There are a fair few songs that like, for some reason, dude, like music really does this to me. It's like, it just really hits home and like, man, like that's the easiest way to make, like you can tell me like a close friend died and I'll be like, huh, bummer.
Damn.
Like glad I knew him. They were a good person, right? And but like, dude, some music just hits me and like just like rocks me to my core. And like there are a fair few songs and there's a fair few movies as well that do
gotcha.
That. Like I cried during Coco. Not even fuck. I cried like 3 times during Coco.
Oh, the last time I was bawling, like bawling.
Yeah. I've never like hit the point where I'm like like ugly crying, you know, but like
snot came down a little bit. Like I was crying and holding back tears. Like snot was coming down.
Yeah.
Like that's what I was crying.
It's but, pretty rare that I'm like ugly crying, but like, you know, tears come to my eyes from songs and movies pretty regularly.
I got you. It's like, not soft, dude.
Yeah.
You're badass motherfucker.
Well, it's probably soft, but like, I don't care. I'm fucking
over. Yeah, brothers,
like,
you're good.
I'm proud of it. What surprised you the most this year? Like what drink did you try that you were like, oh, I didn't expect that to be good. I know. Mine. Marcio Buffalo, Tom Kogas soup, sour. Holy shit. That I should have known too because I had the same like I had their the piña colada kvick.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh god, that's good. I didn't expect I was like, this is gonna be fucking nasty. And I tried, I was like, oh my god.
So you're saying when we try on the show or one in general?
Either. But like when Marcio brought the Tom Kogas soup sour and all of the kvicks that he had, I was like, this shouldn't be good. I shouldn't
like
this.
You're right. So that one was really powerful. Like the key lime he brought, that one was really cool. The key lime pie. Yeah. That one was like, oh shit, this is actually decent. Like
it's decent.
But what the outside of the podcast, one that I'm like kind of threw me back was the steak ale from Hopkins Brewing.
Okay.
So yeah. Matt, little assistant over there, they brewed the steak ale. It was with Worcestershire sauce.
Huh.
And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Yeah. Like you smell it.
Yeah.
You want a steak. Like it smelled just like Worcestershire sauce. Like it was terrible. And then like it like
Do you like Worcestershire?
I do. Sorry. I really do.
I do too. I do. Dude, I put that on like rice with some
you
cheese.
Drink it.
And that's like, hell yeah.
It was the most like complex, balanced ale I've ever had. I was like, oh my God. That was really cool. One that we brought on the show was actually Bewilder. It was the El Guapo, the Vienna Lager. With coffee in it.
Yeah.
That one was like, wow, Cody, you did this?
Yeah. Not the Mole Porter. That didn't do it for you.
So a Mole Porter was really cool too because of the spice. But then if you look at Strap Tank came out with the Hot Rod and they had the chilies in the beer, but it was the essence of chili without the spice.
Yeah.
But you got roasted chili.
Yeah.
And it was super good. But it wasn't hot. And I liked that because it played with like you could still have the flavor without the heat.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit.
What was that cider that we tried that was like spicy, like legit spicy?
Oh, it was the Treehorn.
Treehorn.
Habanero cider.
Yeah.
That cider was really good.
That surprised me and I fucking loved it.
It was sweet. It was hot. It was great.
Like it made you want to drink more. You were like.
Oh, I bug them all the time. Like, hey, when are you getting Treehorn in? Oh, yeah. We're working on hey, when are you getting Treehorn? Like all the time. Yeah. I always hit them up.
I'm
like, hey.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling every liquor store around. Just be like, hey, can you order Treehorn? Hey,
out of Atlanta, Georgia, Treehorn. So what are we looking for this year, Wyatt? Like going into this year, like what? Do you want to happen this year? What do you see happening this year? Actually, while you do think of that, you brought a bunch of two-row beers. We haven't
tried anything from two-row, have we?
So what do you want to try? No.
So I brought a couple. I think there are two that I'm setting aside. Those are for you and because I want you to try them next to each other. And yeah, those are for you. One's the Dangereux Farmhouse Ale.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the Barrel-Aged Dangereux.
Damn.
Also okay. Farmhouse ale.
Okay.
Those are for you. Those are yours. Drink them at your leisure, sir. I also have the shorter porter and the not just for breakfast Imperial Stout.
I've had the Imperial Stout from T-Road.
Have you really?
Yes. I had it at Prohibition.
Fine.
So I would like to either have that one or we can open the other one.
Well, how'd you like that one? I'm down for either.
It's an oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
And
you brought some beers as well. And I think either of these two is going to drown out whatever it is that you brought.
So I have in front of us the bronze winner for this year in Utah, the great beer competition, the bronze winner from Greater Works, Grid City Works. Grid City Works is one of the newest, not even a year old brewery, and they took bronze with their honey cream ale. Now, if you had their honey cream ale, this one in CO2 can, that's what the CO2 is what CO2. Took. It took bronze, but their nitro at the brewery, oh my God. It was so good that you can eat the head with a spoon.
Whoa.
And Holly was like, the first beer I ever saw Holly go, I'm going to crave this. And down the road, like a couple weeks later, she's like, do you know what I'm in the mood for? And Holly has never once, since I've known her for 10 years, not once been in the mood for beer. She goes, I've been craving that honey cream ale from Grid City. I'm like, shut the fuck up. We're going. You know what I mean? Like, we have to. So this is a bronze winner. So go ahead and open it up.
Yeah.
Drew, or one of the owners at Grid City, said the best way to pour this one is you have to pour it hard, pour it fast, because you want that CO2 to escape, right? And it'll taste more like the nitro, if you will. Uh-huh. That's the best way to do it. But it's the best, dude. Thank you.
Give it a couple minutes for that head to die.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But honey cream ale, from bronze in the cream ale category.
Huh. What do you get on the nose?
Honey.
Honey.
Yeah, I do.
I get a little bit, but like not a whole lot of anything.
I'm curious to see what you think about this one.
Mm. Wow. Hmm. Wow.
What do you think?
That's surprisingly, there's a lot to it. I didn't expect there to be a lot to it. I expected like maybe a little bit of honey and then like whatever basic cream ale flavors, which is like basic light beer flavors. Super smooth. There's
GABF, they got the bronze in this one.
It's more than just honey. Like it's not just like basic honey flavor. Like you ever been to like KFC and you get their biscuits and their biscuits come with like honey. You can't see because this is a podcast, but I'm doing finger quotations. Honey. It's not real. It's like honey-flavored high fructose corn syrup, right? I remember as like a kid, I was like, oh, I love honey. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This tastes like real honey. Like, have you ever had like real fresh honey?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. From the comb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or even like... Like I had neighbors growing up and they would like bring us jars of honey.
Oh, yeah, it's delicious. That's the best kind of honey there is. And
like you can taste the difference. Like they would have like, yeah, so like our bees here are from, you know, they feed off like alfalfa and cherry trees and there's like some wild like thistle.
Okay.
That the bees like a lot. Which is actually makes really good honey. And alfalfa makes great honey and the cherry trees just add some complexity. But like the honey itself has complexity.
Yeah.
Or like honey with like a lot of apple orchards around changes it, or like peach orchards. Like one time they put one of their, they have a bunch of peach trees. They put one of their, they had a bunch of beehives, right? They put one of them just in the middle of like this small peach orchard that they had. And they still had alfalfa. They still had cherry trees. They still had the thistle, but they also had more access to those peach trees. Like that's what was right around them. And so the honey was a little bit different, right? A little peachy. This is like the honey itself in this has complex. It's not just like honey flavor. It's like complex honey flavor.
Yeah.
And then there's also like that nice.
It's got that malt.
It's not
creaminess.
Like bready, but it's like maybe a cracker or a biscuit, something like
that. It's good, dude. Like this is a good beer.
Sean would look at me and be like, well, is it cracker or biscuit? I'm like, fuck, I don't know.
Right. I was at the watch what you're saying.
I would say cracker.
It smells sweet. Where's the sweetness come from?
Here's the sweet.
God damn it.
Yeah, it's like.
But if you, this is something you can continue to crush and crush and crush.
It's like, oh, dude, okay, this is a snack my grandpa would have a lot when I was a kid. He would have saltine crackers, and he would put a little bit of butter on it and then a little bit of honey on it.
Oh, cool.
That's what this reminds me of. This is like that.
That's awesome, dude.
That snack, right?
I get you.
It's like a saltine cracker with like, you know, honey from the Baileys on it.
It's really cool. But see how that like this beer is that good though. Simple, crushable. It's on CO2, but nitro. If you guys can get nitro, I had it on a cask. Cask was good, But Nitro just blew everything out of the water, dude. The Nitro, you got to get. So they fucked with us on Thanksgiving. They did the cranberry honey cream ale. So they added a little cranberries.
Oh, we tried that one, didn't we?
Yeah. And yeah. It was good. It wasn't like, this is better. Like, yeah. The base is better.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
This is what I wanted to bring to you, because this is one of my new favorite beers at all. It's Holly's favorite, too. And so I was like, I have to bring it to the anniversary show. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But then let's open one of these two rows.
Yeah. Do you want the shorter porter or the stout? I'm down to try either.
Let's try the shorter porter and then the stout.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do want to say this while you're opening that, is I just want to give thanks and gratitude to all those who've been able to come on, like Elizabeth, Matt, you know, Chad, Marcio, Scott, all those guys, you know, Derek, Sean, everyone who's come on, all my friends who've been here supporting me and why on this adventure is really cool. All the shout outs we continue to get and our studio, our producer, Corey, that guy puts up with a lot of our shit.
What a stud.
I don't give him that much credit, but
what a human.
But you know, the fact that he gives his studio and he pushes us to become better, and he's always looking out for us. He's got a family. He's making time for us, and I appreciate him for what he's doing, and the fans. Like, you guys are continuing to give us support and reviews, good and bad, and where we can become better, and we like that because Wyatt and I legit grow from it, and we love all the reviews. We take them to heart. The support for the KB episode, the Black is Beautiful episode, that was great support. We have over 300 comments on that one episode.
Whoa.
Yeah. And from across the country.
Wow.
Yeah, I had breweries from West Virginia and Vermont reach out to me and say how great that was. And I can't wait to get – I'm looking for more second episodes. I want to bring Scott back on. I want to bring Marcio back on. You know, I want to bring Derek back on. I want to bring KB. We have to bring KB back on. Yeah. Like, I want to do second episodes, right? And – I want to look forward to my weekends being filled with just podcasting, because this is so cool. Because I've met so many cool people in our community that just change, like, it just makes it so much better. So thank you guys for. I've yet to have one person tell me no, they don't want to come on the show. I've had a couple people like, not yet because we're COVID, blah blah blah, which is cool. But like, I've not, like, fuck off, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And it's been really cool because it's been really embraced, and we want to continue the push and help the community out the way we can, the best we can.
I guess we're just not that popular yet.
Keyword, yet. Yeah. I mean,
isn't that like? Don't they say that's how you know you've made it? Another finger quotes thing is you've got haters.
And you know what? If we have haters, that's cool. I mean, I don't expect all my friends to listen to every single episode. I don't expect all our fans to listen to every single episode.
Just most of them.
Yeah, but I expect Holly to listen to every single episode. But, you know, I want good episodes. I want cool content. Those who see one of their friends on the episode, like, let's do it. Let's support them. Like, let's keep going. And that's what we're doing. But you poured that porter from Two Row.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That smells like honey as well.
Wow. Or is it?
Do you get honey there?
I don't.
It's like, honey, when I first started drinking coffee in like high school, obviously coffee is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
I don't know very many people who just started off like, yeah, I like coffee and I like it black. I was like that when I was in high school, but it was because like I wanted to be a badass, you know, around my friends. I wanted to be like my friends are getting like whatever cappuccinos from the cappuccino machine or adding a bunch of cream and stuff. And I was like, I want to be the guy who's like, that guy's fucking crazy. So, like, I would drink coffee black. And then I was like, oh, but actually, this gas station coffee black tastes like shit.
Oh, really?
And so, oh, yeah, it's really bad. So, I would start adding honey to my coffee.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
The same honey from the Baileys next door. I was like, yeah, honey, fresh honey. And so, that's what this is, like, coffee, like, roasty, and honey.
Interesting. For me, I get a lot of malt character on the nose. Like, a lot of malt. I get, like, roasty charness, if you will.
Yeah. Like, I could see, so I'm interpreting the sweetness as honey, but I could see how you would interpret the sweetness as malt as well. As soon as you said that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's malt.
For me, it's when once I drink it, I get smokiness. I get like the smoky, more smoky than roasted, which is kind of weird. I'm curious to know what they used for that. But I get like a char smoke with it. Not bad. How's it with the cheese? You're still eating that Irish cream. How's that cheese with it? I get a little bit of chocolate.
That's actually pretty. I didn't expect it to be good.
I think, is that toffee or caramel?
It's hard to say. It's hard to get past all the roast and
it's a lot. It's very smoky, roasty.
Yeah.
But I mean, what percentage is this? By the way, it seems like a high percent.
7.1
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the ABV in it.
It's really good with the cheese. Cheese is creamy, yeah. And I think it tones down some of that roastiness.
I'm gonna try that because it's I think it's a little too roasty for me.
Yeah, a little intense. A little more than I would want from like a basic porter. But I mean, maybe it's what they're looking for. Like,
yeah,
I can see some dark beer lovers, you know, really liking how smoky and roasty this is.
I did not like that with the cheese.
See, first taste is bad. It's the aftertaste of the cheese combined with the beer that I think is good.
Oh, gotcha.
The first taste, the initial taste is like, mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh wait, that's not so bad. Because like the aftertaste like of the cheese
creamy
is creamy
waxiness almost in the yeah. It covers your mouth and it kind of covers the char. I got you.
You almost have to eat the cheese and then like what's and then, left and yeah. Then drink the beer.
That makes sense. And that, it did take away a lot of the charness to it. Mm-hmm. But I want to know where that smokiness come from. You know what I mean? Because it's a smoky porter. But they didn't call it a smoky. It was a shorter porter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a one and done beer for me. I don't think it's not crushable at all. I would put this and a 4.5 crushability out of 10, it's not crushable for me.
I like 2 or 3.
It's not, yeah. I'm being generous because I like the chocolate to it.
Yeah, the chocolate's nice. If you can tone back the smoke a little bit, then it's nice.
If you were looking for the smoke, yeah. Hey, that's great. You nailed it. But
this, I think this would make a really, really good black and tan with some sort of like cream ale.
Ooh, the honey cream ale with that.
You still got some beer in that cup, but
I am not going to fuck with that because the cream ale is sacred to me. And Drew and Jeremy, if you're listening to Grid City, I am not fucking with your beer because it's that good. But Wyatt will be fucking with it. I'm curious, maybe. But I think this would be a great, hear me out, a good marinade. Oh, God damn it.
I'm a fucker. Blame it on me.
Drew and Jeremy cannot. No, I did this.
Makes it better. I think it tones back that smoke.
It makes it better, but I'm still getting smoke, dude.
Yeah.
I don't like smoky cream ale.
You think there's just like a bunch of liquid smoke in there?
Yeah. No. But let's try the breakfast talk because I think we should end on the breakfast talk because it's the. Yeah. But why?
It's breakfast time here at like 2. Breakfast time. 3, 2.
I love oatmeal stouts. Oatmeal stouts one of my favorite.
Dude, I'm a big fan of oatmeal stouts too. I'm always hesitant about beers that add coffee. Like it sounds cool, but like, I guess like I can drink coffee until like noon or 2 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock, and like after that, I know I'm not gonna be able to. I'm a lightweight. I'm a huge lightweight when it comes to everything. Like I'll drink. Whatever a beer or like coffee, and if I don't stop before 2 and like really before 12, like I'm gonna have a hard time going to sleep at night. Really? I really am.
Interesting.
And like beer, like one beer and I'm done. So like
one beer Wyatt, huh?
Yeah, I'm a one beer Wyatt. So one like, Wyatt. Dude, like coffee beer scares me because like I've got to drink it before 2, but I don't want to have beer before 2 because usually I've got some shit to do in the day, either work or. You know, some sort of workout or something, but
is there anything on the label on this one? This is called the it's not just for breakfast stout by Two Real. I've had this one, and when I had it, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much that I took a picture and actually posted it on our Instagram.
Did you really?
I really did.
No kidding.
Yep. I want to see, and the can's really cool. It's got Starry Night with a cup of coffee on it.
Cup of yo. 8.3% alcohol by volume.
Oh, shit.
Cheers to the anytime stout drinker. That's what it says on there. Morning, noon, or night, a blend of coffee, chocolate, and oatmeal.
Oh, my God.
That's just right. Let's rhyme a little bit.
It smells so good.
Imperial stout with coffee and chocolate.
That head is great. Wow.
Well, I mean, I poured.
Did you pour hard and fast?
Hard and fast, baby.
Oh, gotcha. But it smells like a cappuccino.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding. It smells great. Smell that, dude. Ooh, I love the smell. It smells like, let me see. I want to do some research on this real quick. I want to know what coffee they use because this is worth bringing on a coffee beer episode.
I don't think it smells quite like a cappuccino.
Really?
No.
I get cappuccino or espresso.
Like espresso?
Yeah.
I could see espresso. Like, okay, when I think of espresso, I think of like dirty coffee. For some reason, espresso to me sounds dirty. Like when I, like... And okay, maybe when I was in Europe, I drank a lot of espresso, and all of their espresso was like kind of gritty. Kind of gritty.
So the traditional way, the good way.
Is it supposed to be gritty?
I think so.
Okay. Well, it seemed dirty, and I liked it.
I like this, dude.
This smells kind of dirty.
I haven't tasted
it. Smells
this
like
yet.
Espresso, and it smells kind of dirty.
So they put a...
Not necessarily a bad thing.
A blend of La Barra's Guatemala blend of sweetness and chocolate. That's the coffee they use. Mostly coffee and chocolate. Dude, I can't...
There's something that I'm trying to pick out there that I'm not... Like...
Smells great,
smoky,
dude.
Kind of burnt flavor.
What? Did you use the same cup as the porter?
Nope.
I think it's just like that.
I think it's a
coffee
little,
roast.
I think it's smoke. I think that's what I'm smelling is like a smoke.
I get like the roasty of the coffee. Like, because I used to be a barista in Sundance. When I first started as a barista. And so when you grind the coffee and they start like making a bunch of espressos, this is the smell you get in the, like, if you go to Starbucks like 6 a.m. after they brewed for a couple hours or an hour, this is the smell you get.
This is what you get.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like burnt coffee, if you will.
Yeah, burnt. Like smoky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interpreting it as smoke, but like burnt. Yeah.
Oh, dude, taste that.
Hmm.
That oat smoothness, dude. It's like an oat, creamy.
Oat adds such a nice texture to beer.
God, oat was a great choice. If it did not have oat, I don't know if I'd like this.
Flavor-wise, very, very similar to the border, I think.
But very, without smoke, in my opinion.
I think there's smoke.
It has no smoke. I think it has that oaty creaminess, which some people who don't like dark coffee, like, you add that creaminess. And oat milk is my favorite. If I had one choice, if I had to put cream in my coffee, I drink it black. But if I had to, and it was available, oat milk every time.
Yeah.
And this is what
oat milk is pretty. I'm not.
This tastes like my coffee in the morning.
Dude, I drink milk. Milk is maybe one of my favorite drinks.
Do you say milk or melk?
Milk.
Milk. Go ahead.
Milk.
Is that kind of your came from a farm?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on a farm, and I guess we had like a milk goat that I bought when I was in high school.
Okay.
I worked on dairies and stuff, so like, yeah, like I've been around milk, but like even before I worked on a dairy, like I've always just loved milk. Like I just really enjoy drinking milk, you know? And like, man, like milk is such like a manly drink. Like, like I think about like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like this is when I think of like. Just sometimes I imagine this as I'm like drinking a glass of milk with like my dinner, whatever it is, right? Like for some reason, like ground beef and rice kind of has been my dinner lately.
Okay.
And like just a big fat glass of milk with that, like a fucking tankard of milk. And like, I don't know why I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger because he has a famous quote that's like, milk is for babies, grown men drink beer.
Interesting.
Which is like funny. I think it's a funny quote. But like, I don't know why I imagine him drinking milk whenever I feel like I just finished a workout and now I'm eating some rice and beef and drinking some milk.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, I'm like,
so I've been,
like
I've been told a good post-workout drink is with milk.
Yeah. There's, George St. Pierre. Do you know who George St. Pierre is?
Yeah,
GSP. He's like GSP. One of the most famous fighters
UFC fighters of all time. Yeah.
Great, great martial artist, like black belt in jiu-jitsu, kickboxer. He was in one of the Captain America movies. He played Batroc the Leaper.
At the very beginning, right?
Yeah, he was at the beginning. Yeah. And there was...
They had a fight scene with Captain America.
Yeah. Captain America was doing a fucking ship takedown, hoo-yah, mm-hmm. and like, he fights George St. Pierre, and it was a legit fight. Like, there were a couple of little, like,
Hollywood
cute 360 like spin kicks that George St. Pierre did. The rest of it was like, that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Like it was legit stuff. And George St. Pierre did gymnastics while he was in the UFC so that he would have a better understanding of his body and the way that it moves.
That's insane.
So like he'll throw a backflip or, you know, back handspring, stuff like that. And he did some of that stuff on this ship while Captain America was fighting him and then pushing him through a door or
something.
Captain
America, though. You know what I'm saying?
Great dude. But
what do you think about this beer overall?
It's great beer. Yeah. Great beer. I don't know how we got started talking about Captain America and George St. Pierre.
Would you do this again, though? You would get back on this again?
I'd drink this again, yeah.
So then going forward, anniversary episode, what do you have to say? Why? Like, what do you see for the second year?
George St. Pierre, after every single workout, drinks a big-ass glass of chocolate milk. That's why I was thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. We've drank too much beer and stuff for me to be that focused. But
happy anniversary, brother.
Where do I see us in the next year? I don't know, man. That's a tough question because there are a lot of things in my life that are changing right now. And so, you know, I feel like ultimately I've got a few months left at the Taste Masters, which is unfortunate, but like, that's just how it goes. You know, I've got until, really the end of April, beginning of May. But in that time, I want to do, you know, what I can to try to get this to a sustainable place so that you can take over and take the reins, and, you know, maybe you'll find a new co-host. And
damn, dude, I didn't know you were going to tell everyone that, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I guess, like, forewarning here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've both known this, but, like, you know, work has taken me out of state. So, you know, just the quality of, like, work itself, like, training is going to be, you know, 6 months to a year or more. So, like, even if we were open to doing phone calls, like, it would be a long time before I could even get on there. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I want to see what we can to continue to expand. And yeah, meeting with brewmasters is, I think, one of the coolest things that we do. And kind of getting the word out about, you know, their art, how cool the things that they're doing is. And really spreading the word about the great beer that they're making. Like, there's a lot of people that I know who drink beer, and not quite as many people who I know who drink good beer.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You know, I know way too many people who are satisfied with Bud Light when I know that they would enjoy craft beer more.
Absolutely.
And amen. So doing what I can, I think, to make these craft brewers, like, let them be appreciated for their art, and also let the people who are drinking, you know, kind of shittier beers like Bud Light. And like, if you drink Bud Light and you like Bud Light, whatever, go for it. But like, I promise you that if you drink Bud Light and you also like coffee, like, there are so many beers out there. Like, that's the stipulation right there. Like, if you like coffee or you like tea, but you're drinking Bud Light, or you're drinking the same, you know, Barefoot white wine or whatever it is that you're drinking, and you like coffee or tea, like, I promise you there are so many good beers out there that you would enjoy so much more.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know, just continuing to try to spread the good word. Like, beer is a health— okay, beer is not a health drink, but beer is a healthier option in my eyes than something along the lines of just drinking a wine or drinking some spirit or, you know, whatever it is. But that's my goal for the Taste Masters for at least the next few months is to try to do what I can to spread the word about good beer, dude, and stuff.
Yeah, let's get it out there. And then when those stickers come out, like, let's pass it like wildfire and get it out there. And again, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, like Wyatt says at the end of every episode, like, hit us up, DM us, message us, let us know. We want reviews. We need— if you guys want to come on, let us know. If you guys want to kick it, and I don't care if you guys think it's you don't sound good, you don't like the own voice, or you're shy, it doesn't matter. Wyatt and I will make you feel comfortable as long as you can just kick it and have a good time. Yeah. That's what we have.
When we're recording, like, I feel like some people would be nervous about their voice being on the air, right? We kind of were before it started. Nervous at first episode.
Oh, yeah. I hated my voice.
And then, like, 10 seconds in, like, we had opened a beer and we were drinking some beer, and it just turns into, like, a couple of friends having a conversation about beer. Like, that's all it is we're just recording what we would probably be doing anyway.
At home or something. Like, you're at your home or with your friends, and you're just sitting there, you know, chit-chatting, talking about life or whatever. That's all it is here.
Yeah.
We have a little bit more of a focus and an outline, but, like, it's still do that. Like, come do that.
Like, we put some microphones in front of us so that we have an excuse to meet people that we would want to meet and maybe wouldn't
and capture it for those who are like, this conversation is cool enough for people to hear.
Yeah.
But Wyatt, I mean, again, happy anniversary, brother. Thanks so much for helping me start this and one of my dreams and putting up with me all year and taking some of your time all year to do this for me. I know I came across and I'm like, hey, I have this idea. I want you to do this with me. And I told Holly this the other day, I didn't want to start this with anyone else besides you, dude. You had that passion. You had that same fire I had. You got it. And I didn't have to explain it to you. And you're so knowledgeable about it. It's been a beautiful ride. It's been really cool. Yeah, thanks, dude. Like, thanks. This year's been fucking hard, but fun and great. So thanks for putting up with me and being there with it.
Yeah, I appreciate all the work you put into this, really. Really, I do.
Like, yeah, dude.
You work hard on this. And I think that, you know, I can definitely see it, but I think that, you know, anyone who listens to this can tell as well. Like, the fact that we have a podcast out that sounds good is primarily due to David, the people that he knows, the friends that he's made, you know. So
thanks, dude.
You work hard, dude.
I'm trying. People can see that. But that will do it for this episode.
Wait.
Interesting
news.
Oh,
interesting.
Shit.
What,
yeah.
Wait, what was the title? Interesting.
It's beer almost news.
Almost news.
And other stuff.
And other stuff.
Actually, so I have something for you, Wyatt. So, please. So, Uinta, I don't know if you know this. So, how
yeah, I've heard of Uinta.
So, okay. how well are you with Uinta's variety packs?
I like them.
Like, how many variety packs do you know they have?
One? I don't know.
They have
two. They have two that I can think of off the top of my head that I've bought. I don't
go
to the grocery store a whole lot.
Okay.
Just like keep up to date on Uinta's variety pack.
But I know they have one because one of the first beers you brought on the show was the Uinta Yard Sale.
Well, they've got the Yard Sale and
the Baba
Black Lager.
Right, exactly.
And then they've got one that's like a hazy.
Is the Pacquiao IPA and something else, and they have the Cutthroat. Anyway, they have a bunch, right?
Oh, any of them with the Cutthroat is going to be bomb.
Exactly. Yeah. So they just came out with one, okay?
Dope.
They released it. News came out December 16th, okay? It's called the Pow Pack.
Ooh.
Pow Pack, right. So basically, the Pow Pack is going to have, let's see, I need to know, I need to look into detail with this one. It's going to have the Powder Mountain Pilsner, the Brighton IPA, and the Deer Valley.
What's the Deer Valley?
See, I can't zoom in enough. But
Pow is in powder. Gotcha. Pow,
yeah, so it's a winter-esque, it's in partnership with the ski resorts. So it's Brighton, Deer Valley, and Powder Mountain. So these are the Protect Our Winters, a.k.a. Pow, right? And so Uinta, it's because Uinta is the biggest brewery in Utah. Let's be real.
Yeah.
We've had how many Uintas on here?
Dude, like half the beers we've had on here.
Exactly. So they have the Powder Mountain Pils, the Brighton IPA, and the Deer Valley Black Beer.
Oh, dope.
Super good.
Wait.
Great combo.
So now they have two black beers, the Baba and the Deer Valley.
Exactly. One's considered a black lager. This one's considered a black beer.
Oh, gotcha.
B-I-E-R, like
well,
German
I mean,
style.
Black beer is usually a lager, isn't it?
Or yeah, a Schwarz beer, right?
B-I-R is...
But the IPA and the pils, like that's a great combo though.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
If
that's
you're going to be skiing or snowboarding, and you start with a pilsner.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle IPA, you know, a little bit of hops, and end with the fucking a dark
finish,
beer.
Finish the
dark lager.
Beer. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Okay. Wake up in the morning. I imagine the black beer is going to have little coffee notes. You know.
Oh.
So
I see where you're going with that.
Coffee first. Middle of the day, you're kind of getting warm. Rock that pilsner, right?
Oh, pilsner, fuck
yeah. On the way up in the ski lift, drinking that pilsner. On the way down, you're enjoying your shit. And then you go back up with another pilsner. Starts to get evening. You know, hops are a known sedative. I don't know if you know that. Hops.
Oh, shit.
They help you sleep. A lot of, like, modern sleep aids, like sleep little cocktails, concoctions.
Okay.
Like pills and stuff that you can take. One I'm specifically thinking of from Onnit. Everyone knows Onnit.
Yeah,
It's like Joe Rogan's company, yeah. Right? They have a sleep aid that has hop extract in it.
Interesting.
It's like a mood enhancer that helps you get ready for sleep. There's a few other companies that have like hop extract. Like, why drink hop extract when you can just drink a beer with hops? And so as you're getting ready for bed, you just rock that IPA and have some
like
sweet
that.
Dreams and get up
Hell
in the next
yeah.
morning and crush that. Pow. Shred the narnar.
I like that.
Bruh.
Well, what's your news?
Okay. I'm actually kind of excited about this.
I'm curious.
I hope this leads into a future episode. I really do. This is something that I've been a little interested in, but I haven't like super looked up lately. And so I don't know if it's necessarily news. You know what? Fuck it. It's news.
It's almost news.
It's interesting stuff.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
So mine is more or less. I just want to talk about the health benefits of beer, specifically non-alcoholic beer, but like beer. Yeah. Non-alcoholic beer is going to be the best because it doesn't have that alcohol, but it has all the other benefits. But like, you know, some low ABV beer or, you know, maybe even some higher ABV beer if you feel like having a raucous time. So some of the health benefits of specifically non-alcoholic beer, but other beers. And this is, I want to bring on some non-alcoholic beers and our non-alcoholic producer, Corey. I want to bring him on one of the episodes with some
non-alcoholic beer. Producer.
Yeah.
I like that.
And this will lead in, I'm going to mention a couple of companies here in a minute.
Okay.
So the first thing, non-alcoholic beer can promote post-exercise recovery.
Okay.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Non-alcoholic beer, great post-workout. And that's because it has sodium in it, which is great for increasing blood volume, which helps you transfer, you know, nutrients throughout your body. So like if you don't have enough blood in your body, there's not a good chance that you're going to be able to get that blood into the muscles so that those muscles can start to repair themselves. And it's like not so much the workout, but it's the recovery that really, so like if you have a great workout but terrible recovery, you're not going to get stronger. If you have great recovery but no workout, which I think is also called being lazy, you're not going to recover, right? So you gotta think about recovery if you're working out. It's a big part. Non-alcoholic beer is a great way to do that. It has carbohydrates, it has sodium, and it's a great, very, very hydrating drink. Beer is without the alcohol. Alcohol is a diuretic, so it makes you feel dehydrated. You have to pee a lot when you drink alcohol.
Once the seal's broken, it's game over.
Yeah, once the seal's broken, it's game over. So non-alcoholic beer doesn't have the same effect as alcohol. So non-alcoholic beer doesn't have the alcohol that's diuretic. So you hold on to all of that. That liquid, all that
H2O.
Yeah. So the combination of hydrating fluids, carbohydrates that helps move nutrients, that spikes your insulin and forces your body to produce glucagon to counteract that. And basically that's how your body transfers carbohydrates and proteins to rebuild muscles. And that sodium increases blood volume combined with the hydrating fluid. So first of all, very hydrating, helps you recover from workout. That's also one of the second things, right? It's super hydrating. It can increase cardiovascular health.
How?
There are polyphenols in beer that is derived from hops. And in a couple of different studies, it showed that it can increase the production, your body's natural production of stem cells. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Which can go into repairing parts of your body, specifically your heart. So same thing. It's also in red wine, a lot of these polyphenols. And darker beer has a higher polyphenol count.
Than red wine?
I don't know about red wine. I don't know how they compare. But I know that it has a higher polyphenol count than light beer does.
Okay.
Do you remember when we did our dark beer episode, specifically the Guinness episode, and we talked about how Guinness advertised back in like the 1800s to pregnant women that you should drink one Guinness a day.
A day.
Or a cup of Guinness a day. That's what it was. It's because it is true, okay? If you drink a cup of Guinness a day, even the full alcohol Guinness, which is 4.4% ABV, relatively low for a beer.
Right.
I think it could be lower. I'd love that. So there are a few companies that make non-alcoholic stouts, and those have all of the polyphenols that are good for your heart that is in Guinness, but without the alcohol, which is not necessarily terrible for your heart. I read a study in the past that was like people who drink one to four beers a week had healthier hearts than people who didn't drink alcohol at all, and healthier parts than people who were like alcoholics.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, drinking in general, can be good for it.
Isn't that fascinating to you?
Isn't it fascinating? Polyphenols.
Holy shit.
Good for your heart.
So basically,
great post workout, good for your heart.
Oh my God. So I'm going to have a cup of milk and a beer and I should be good.
So along with cup of milk, not drinking non-alcoholic beer may stimulate breast milk production.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. So breastfeeding moms in general should avoid alcohol because that can get into the breast milk. And, you know, alcohol isn't a great thing for babies.
No, not at all.
I don't think so. No, I've never done my own research. But yeah, not great for babies. But non-alcoholic beer can increase breast milk production.
Fascinating.
It stimulates the secretion of prolactin, a hormone which enhances breast milk production.
So they can drink that after they give birth to the baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can drink non-alcoholic beer while they're pregnant because it's non-alcoholic, right? It has less than 0.0% or 0.05% ABV, which is
just the same amount as less than a drop, and it has the same amount as kombucha.
Yeah. Most pregnant women, it says, shouldn't drink kombucha during pregnancy because of the high content of this is a separate thing, because of the high content of what are those things? This is in yogurt too. What am I thinking of? Like the cultures in it.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Can cause funkiness, the baby to have issues or something like that. So that's why like it generally says like pregnant moms should eat some yogurt, but not a ton of yogurt, and they should avoid It's like a balance, like yeah. like they're
any pregnancy is.
What are the things that that help gut health? What am I thinking of? Probiotics.
Probiotics, yeah.
It's like pregnant women definitely need probiotics, but like too many.
Don't go overboard.
Yeah, don't go overboard. Basically, right. It's like
it's balance.
So like
balance
some kombucha is good, but not a ton.
Right.
But like there's not enough alcohol, non-alcoholic beer for it to be bad for them. It simulates prolactin. And that's because of the barley in the beer, which has polysaccharides, which boosts milk flow.
Dude.
Yeah, so
that's fascinating. That is right. Almost news and other stuff right there.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Reduces the risk of osteoporosis because of the silicon, which is in beer, which can increase the bone mineral density and reduces the risk of osteoporosis. So you want beer with high levels of malted barley and hops. For that. So
that's fascinating.
If there was like a Cascadian dark ale that was non-alcoholic, that would be the perfect beer to reduce the risk of osteoporosis. So give it to your grandma for Christmas.
Hey, listen, grandma. And my grandmother out of my entire family on my mom's side, the white side, she's the most supportive out of this.
Yeah.
Because my mom's side is like hella LDS. And so like my grandma's the one's like, hey, as long as you're happy and healthy and kicking ass, yeah, go for it.
Give her some dark
beers. I'm definitely going to. But, hey,
there are companies that make dark
beers.
Soda
for Christ's sake.
Yeah, fuck that.
Diet Cokes and Tabs. Ooh, yeah. No.
Dark beer that has a roasted barley and hops, so like a non-alcoholic IPA. Give it to her for Christmas. Swear to God, she'll love it. It can increase... beer has a lot of copper in it from the malt. And so a lot of people are deficient in copper.
Okay.
Copper and magnesium are like two of the most common deficiencies in humans in general. And beer has both of those. Has a lot of both of those. So does like broccoli. But if you want to drink your vegetables,
that's weird.
Drink some non-alcoholic beer. It has copper, which can increase your metabolism because you know you won't have a deficiency. And then it also can promote better sleep because beer has magnesium in it from the hot or from the malt.
And that also contributes to gut health as well.
Yeah.
Magnesium.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually been hearing a lot about magnesium.
Paul and I take magnesium in the morning to clear us out. If we do, like, if we do drinking the night before,
yeah,
take 3 or 4 pills of magnesium. And what happens is it helps promote that heart and gut health where it like, kind of flushes us out, if you will.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
too much magnesium is bad, but too much of anything is bad. But magnesium actually helps gut health well. Yeah.
So I take a sleep aid at night. Okay. It's actually a tea.
Like melatonin?
It has some melatonin.
Okay,
in it.
Cool.
So it has a few things that are like really, really helpful for sleep. Melatonin is one of them. It does have hop extract in it.
Fascinating, though.
And then it has
so IPAs make you sleepy.
Yeah, it has a couple of different types of magnesium that are supposed to be like hit you at different levels to be more digestible. And then it has this thing called GABA, which is supposed
G-A-B-A.
To be GABA, or maybe it's 2 Bs. I don't remember.
No, 1 B.
1 B. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember. But it's like a tea. It's like an apple cinnamon tea that I make before I go to bed. And, dude, I sleep so well with that stuff.
Good, no?
I have some super crazy dreams, though.
Oh, yeah.
But beer can help you sleep because of the magnesium content. But mostly the reason you'll want to fall asleep, like you're deficient in magnesium, which helps you sleep.
Yeah.
But the hops have a sedative effect. And so if you drink a hoppy non-alcoholic beer or an alcoholic beer,
that's insane.
Alcohol actually reduces sleep quality. So like a non-alcoholic beer before you go to bed with hops in it, you'll sleep better.
That's really cool. Right?
Yeah. And then because of all the nutrients that we talked about and the hops, it can reduce anxiety and stress because hops have that sedative effect. So
that's really cool.
Bunch of like great things about non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or beer
in general.
Cannot wait for that episode.
Beer in general, but also non-alcoholic beer.
Cannot wait for that episode. It'd be super rad.
Yeah. So drink some non-alcoholic beer. There are a couple of companies that I just want to like shout out to. One of them is Athletic Brewing.
Non-athletic, isn't it? Or athletic?
Athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if it was non-athletic, then it would be alcohol.
Athletic,
for sure.
Yeah.
Athletic Brewing.
Non-alcoholic.
That's athletic, non-alcoholic brewing. But it's Athletic Brewing. It's like athleticbrewing.com. And then there's one called Wellbeing Brewing. Mm-hmm. And like non-alcoholic beer is great. Obviously, it has, you know, copper and magnesium, which most people are deficient in. You can get hops. It'll help you sleep. The malt character has polyphenols.
This is fascinating.
Carbohydrates, sodium, very hydrating.
As long as the beer tastes good, we're down.
Fuck yeah, dude. If it tastes good.
Even better.
Even like, I don't know, like O'Doul's and shit like that. We talked about Guinness.
Yeah,
they tried to produce their non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
When that comes out, I might just drink that for the rest of my life. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Well, that will do it for Almost News and Other Stuff. Why? Do you have anything else for us on that one?
Dude, I'm good. Just thank you to all the people who listen to this stuff that we put out. Like, I'm
mad support. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Happy anniversary. Till the next beverage, bros.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.